In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the past few years, when we're talking about the Feast of Christ the King, I've made always comment that this feast was established by Pope Pius XI back in the 1930s for a specific purpose of helping the world to come back under a realization of living under Christ as King, that God is a true ruler, that all authority, everything, anything man can have as rulers on earth, all authority comes from God. We're reminded of that in the Scriptures, and we're reminded even like in the epistle for today about the rule of Christ and how that He is. But more and more, the nations of the world separated themselves from that. By the time this feast day was established by Pope Pius XI, communism and socialism had already gained a great foothold in the entire world and was affecting places, not just Russia, not just China, but every place throughout the world was being affected, to the point more and more it was visiting places of universities and colleges that were there. We're talking about the 1920s and 30s. They were determined that socialism and communism was going to take place and to follow everywhere through the world, and the best way to do it was to take it to youth and have them be the first ministers, the first practitioners, if you will, of socialism and communism from university, college professors, things of that nature, so we could turn out a whole society of socialists and communists. And even though we think that communism has gone away with the fall of the Berlin Wall and all those type of things, it hasn't. Just look at these occupiers of today. Look at who are the main people that are there. I'm not going to say the ones here in Spokane, yet most of the ones, the bigger cities, signs are there. They're being sponsored by the Communist Party USA, the American Socialist Party USA, and so forth. Their principle there is to follow what Karl Marx taught in his book Das Kapital, which was condemned by the church to read, but he taught in there, saying that through chaos comes order. And that's why revolution is such an important part. Revolutionary things are important parts for the works of the communists and socialists. I mean, I could get onto a whole topic that way, and it's not my purpose to do that. But Pope Pius XI established this feast day because communism and socialism was making its inroads. And besides that now, nations of the world, in turning to like maybe a democratic way of rule, were becoming more and more laicized, meaning that they did not look to God for authority, but God came only from, or authority for them came only from men. And so God was not honored in any particular way toward that particular point. It became something that was increasing more and more. We see it in the European Union, if you've followed anything of the politics of that particular point, the news that's made of it. About 2 or 3 years ago, when they established their constitution in the European Union, they completely took out of it any recognition of what the Catholic Church had done to civilize Europe and to bring peace and harmony and unity into it. It's like it never happened, like it never existed. It became something of great sadness, even in the modern church, to complain to the European Union, the government, the people are putting this whole thing together. You can't forget that part of history. Yeah, they can. They just dismissed it altogether. Laicism is what it's called. And this is what Pope Pius XI was also concerned about. Communism, socialism, laicism. Leaving God out of the picture altogether. So he established this feast day so that for Catholics, the world won't care, but for Catholics, once a year, can come back to honor Christ as King. He says his encyclical on Christ, on the kingship of Christ, he says, okay, we know, we understand, we've learned the catechism, what it means that Christ is ruler, he is Lord and Master. We call him Lord, we call him Master. But it doesn't penetrate enough up here. He says he hopes that by people following the liturgical practice of the church, at least once a year, honoring Christ as King, following the prayers of the Mass, then more and more you and I, and Catholics throughout the entire world, we'll get this point of Christ being King, of Lord and Master, not only of the entire world, whether the world wants to acknowledge it or not, that over the entire world He is King. He's that way because He's God. He is that way because He died on the cross for us, it was given to Him, and He rules with His Father in heaven. He has a threefold right to being called King, whether the world wants to do it or not. And we're going to do that here with these ceremonies. So once a year at least, Pope Pius XI said, Catholics will have the opportunity to follow the liturgy here and understand what it means to acknowledge Christ as King in the world, but in our own hearts as well. And again, as I mentioned earlier, that's the reason why It was the prayer of the act of consecration of the Sacred Heart composed by Father Mateo was the one that Pope Pius XI asked would be recited after every Mass on the Feast of Christ the King throughout the entire world, so that Catholics today will remember these particular points. Okay, so we have that for us here. This is what's set before us as an important recognition or remembrance for us for this Feast of Christ the King. This is what we're here to do. This is what the Holy Father has called us to go forth with. But there's something a bit more, and I think, and if we follow the liturgical life of the Church here, as the Pope said we should, and through that grow in our love and respect and desire for Christ to be King in the world and over ourselves, there are other things here we need to consider too. What it means to be a member of His kingdom, and what it's going to be that you and I need to do in order to be a citizen of kingdom, in Christ's kingdom in eternity. It is not enough for us just to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Master, like many of the fundamental Protestants do. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King. I have accepted Him as my Savior and Master, therefore all my sins are forgiven. That's their particular way of doing it. It is not enough. And Jesus outlines that for us in the Scriptures Himself. Of all the things, you know, think about it, of all the ways that we could consider the Feast of Christ the King, when the Mass was composed for this feast day, look at the Gospel that is given to us on this day. How do we see our King? Is He like the picture that's on the back of my vestment right now? That King ruling glorious and reigning there for us completely, very pleasant, very pleasing to look upon, loving, great meditation at that particular point? Or is He also the King that is crowned with thorns, scepter of a reed in His own hand, coming before Pilate, king to secular governor there, and the governor having to acknowledge His kingship? And Jesus said, it is true, yes, I am a king, but not of this world. You have nothing to fear, Pilate. I'm not king of this world, but I am a king. Even if I have a crown of thorns on my head to make up for the sins of the world, even if I've been mocked and spit upon and have this robe on me that's there to humiliate me, I am still a king. But it's that type of a king that so few people wish to follow. But nevertheless, that's the king that we are called to. And that's why I believe when the Holy Ghost inspired the assembling of the Mass that we have for today, less than 100 years ago, of all the Gospels that could have been chosen, this is the one that comes before us. This Gospel of Christ as King, standing before the people, crown of thorns in His head, blood running down, the reed of mockery, the cloth, the mockery of purple, all of these things here. And this is how the world is going to treat Him. Pius XI warned in his encyclical, communism, socialism, laicism, all these things. This is what they're making Christ as King look upon us, as the one who is not the one in the particular point there of the glory and the majesty so easy to look upon, but the one who is there who is crowned with thorns for our sins and will die for us. This is what our King will do for us. He will die for us to redeem us. He will offer Himself daily of Masses on the altar for graces we need. He gives us Himself in Holy Communion. This is our King. This is who He is. But He comes to that point because of His suffering. And He outlines to us, too, that if we are going to enter into the kingdom of God, we have to follow Him in suffering. Oh, sure, oh gosh, it's so easy, isn't it? To follow Him in the glory and majesty. Just like we have, besides the picture on the back of my vestment, the statue of Christ the King that's here in the sanctuary. Easy to look upon. Wonderful King and majesty. That's how I want to see Him all the time in my life. But to think of Him as King in the crucifix above the tabernacle, in the picture that I put in the front page of the Sunday Bulletin, to look upon Him as the same King but suffering for us. Man, that is not what a lot of people want to do. I dare say even many traditional Catholics don't want to do. They've imbibed the whole idea, and this whole idea of suffering, things like that, that's an old type of thing. That comes from people who are trying to make of religion and things of that too severe and strict. You got it wrong. You got it absolutely wrong. Read the gospel stories. I gave you a quote on the front page of the Sunday Bulletin today from The Imitation of Christ. The Imitation of Christ cannot be accused of being some ancient book that presents things to us that has no bearing for us in our day. Every part of it, every part of The Imitation of Christ is something worthy. In the chapter on the Royal Road of the Holy Cross is the title of the chapter, and it starts out with the idea that Jesus has many lovers of his kingdom, but few lovers of his cross. And it concludes with the idea that the pathway to the kingdom is going to be through suffering, bearing up our cross. There is no other way to do that. I'll give you an example. When St. Paul first went out to preach, he crossed over with St. Barnabas from the Isle of Cyprus over into southern Greece. And he went from city to city around that particular area. Following him from were Jews that came up from Antioch, because they didn't like the idea that he was going to allow Greeks to be baptized without first being circumcised. For those who are studying my church history class, you know this is what we're reviewing right now in the course of history, the early ages of the church. And so they would do everything they could even to stir up the people. St. Paul went into one particular town, and these Jews, Jew, Christian, whoever they were, Judaizers is how we know them in history, stirred up the people in the town where St. Paul was, took him outside the city to stone him to death, and they thought for sure he was dead. Just put him outside and let him lie there and rot. Well, that wasn't the case. St. Paul had a great mission to do. He had suffering that he had to have as part of his life, because the gospel needed to be preached. Gospel needed to be taught. And so he went to another town, preached the gospel there to people, came back in that same town where he was just stoned. And the people were just completely amazed. They were amazed. They thought that he was dead. And he was in peace and in smiling and not complaining about the sufferings he had just gone through. But rather he tells them that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations. We think, wait a minute. I'm serving a Christ who is peaceful and nice and all these type of things here. If I follow Jesus, I proclaim the Lord and Master, I have no more problems left in the face of the earth. And when problems come up, I will complain about them and say, well, does God still love me anymore? And make all kinds of, not so much accusations against God, but just complaints of impatience about sufferings and trials that come our way. But St. Paul is outlining here, and again, this is all part of what's in The Imitation of Christ, and it's what I'm trying to portray on the front cover of the Sunday Bulletin for today, is that if we don't see Jesus as King, as one who was crucified and crowned standing before us, and that we too will have to share in that suffering of his, we don't know what the kingdom of God is. We'll never get it established on this earth, in our own hearts, and we won't be able to get to the kingdom of God in eternity. Because the pathway to that kingdom is going to be with denial of self, sacrifice. Oh gosh, though, that's language. That's old church stuff. We don't want to hear those things. Even traditional Catholics will loudly complain about that. Don't talk about that stuff. That comes from people who don't know what they're doing. God, this is Catholic teaching. And for those who want to reject it, want to reject Catholicism, they want to reject the very part of what Scripture teaching itself has. Again, from The Imitation of Christ says, and it's right there, first paragraph, top of the front page, if indeed there was anything better or more useful for man's salvation than suffering, Christ would have shown it by word and example. But he didn't. Anything more useful for you and for I to get to heaven than by suffering. And that's going to be our sure pathway to heaven, is by suffering in union with Jesus, following our crucified master. Yes, he is King and Lord with crown and scepter, but he's also King and Lord with crown of thorns and a mocking reed. We are to follow him in suffering. He reminds us in the scriptures, no disciple is above his master. If they have persecuted me, if they made me suffer, you're going to have to do it too. If you are my disciples. Again, he says, and again, it's on the front cover of the Sunday Bulletin for today, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, I didn't add, and I should have, but I ran out of room. The continuation of that quote from the scriptures. He who does not take up his cross daily and follow me is not worthy of me. Boy, that's foreign language for so many people. People have been absorbed by the things of the world itself, have gotten involved in the laicism of the world, who don't want to claim, no, I'm not a heretic, I'm not a laic, I don't reject communism, socialism, whatever. But in my heart, I'm looking for the easy path. There is no suffering. All that is old school, Catholicism. No, this is what I've got to do for today. Somehow, some way, the scriptures have changed. Traditional modernists might tell you that. But it's not the case as it is. There is no pathway to heaven but through the cross and suffering. Jesus is still our King in suffering. We are mostly his subjects in a great way when we suffer with him, in union with him, out of love for him. But if we run from suffering, if we complain loudly about all of our crosses and trials and do everything we can not to suffer in any way, we're not Christian. I don't care what name we try to call it. We're not following the traditions of the church in this part of their doctrinal teaching about the doctrine of suffering and the kingship of Christ. The invitation of Christ in that one chapter, and again it's on the front page of the bulletin, concludes all of these thoughts about suffering with this line. When therefore we have read and searched all that is written, let this be the final conclusion. And it's a conclusion St. Paul gave in Greece, that through much suffering, we must enter into the kingdom of God. The more we love God, the more we will suffer. The more we allow ourselves to be servants of his kingdom and for Jesus Christ to rule over us first, and then we bring that rule to family, to friends, work, school, whatever it is. Bit by bit, we start to affect where we can in nations. The more we start to do that particular point, fine. But that rule has got to come to this pathway of suffering, personal sanctification, personal graces that are gained for myself and for others. There is no other pathway than that. And those, as the invitation of Christ points out, those who try to run from the cross run blindly to the world and the things of the world and put their very salvation in danger. Oh, yes, we go to confession. Oh, yes, we go to communion. We have a traditional mass and all those particular things. But if you run from the cross, you're running from the very pathway that Jesus set before us. No disciple is above his master. If he has said, if any man will come after me, any man, not just religious and things like that, any man, woman, child, go ahead, multiply it. Don't just say it's only for men that have to suffer and women don't. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Quit being the selfish person that comes along in giving in to temptations of every kind. In denying himself, take up his cross and follow me daily. Every day. This is how Jesus will reign. This is what it means to be a servant of the kingdom of Christ, is to follow this. Any other pathway will not work. It'll be like our Lord told to St. Paul, you're bucking against the goad. When he complained to St. Paul that you were persecuting me, St. Paul didn't fathom it. But once he learned that he was doing the wrong thing, he changed. But for us, we know the right thing. That's just the point. We know the right thing. We know what we're supposed to do. And we still buck against the goad. And Christ is not reigning in here, nor out there, in our families, in places that we can affect at work and at school. Christ is not reigning because we're not letting him reign. We're running from the cross, complaining about every trial and difficulty that we have, instead of the word, offer it up, comes up. Instead of doing that, in imitation of Jesus Christ and his suffering for us, in acknowledgement that our pathway to heaven is to follow the royal road of the cross. Broad is the path, it says in the scriptures. Broad is the path. And straight it might be, that leads to destruction. But narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. So few, the reason it's narrow is because so few people follow it. They would rather have all of these other things and complain about sufferings and run away from suffering any particular way and so call themselves Christian and expect at some point to gain eternal life. It will not happen. When the path is set before us plainly in the Gospels, read the Gospels, study the Gospels, you will see the path is there, it's clear. This is how we gain eternal life. Run from it, you're endangering your very salvation. This is what we hear. You know, sobering thoughts of the Feast of Christ the King. Think of it, it's a beautiful feast day to acknowledge about Christ as ruler and Lord and all these particular things too. But there comes a time we've got to also pause and reflect about what it means for us to follow our Master. Not just up to His throne and be in heaven, but the path it takes to get there. Following Him crowned with thorns, a mocking reed, death upon the cross. Suffering, death to self. This is the pathway for His, all of His followers that we must follow to gain eternal life. When we pray this act of consecration after Mass today, and three times we say in there, "Be thou King." As we talk about Him to be King in various parts of society, how about praying also, "Be thou King in my heart, in my home, in my life. Be thou King." And when I accept Him as Lord and Master in that way, unlike what the Protestants teach, it comes with a price. The price is suffering for love of Him. Run from it. We're not faithful followers of Him. We endanger our salvation. Cling to it. See in Jesus suffering the same King as sees in, as Jesus on His throne of glory. The same King. We're here to follow Him in that way, all the way to that path in heaven. We do that today, acknowledging these particular things and praying for the grace to live that way more and more. Let's make this Feast of Christ the King, a time for us to remember these facts, what it's going to take for us to gain the kingdom of heaven. We gain the kingdom of heaven, again, like St. Paul says, through much suffering. It's not just suffering itself, it's suffering out of love for God. Let's pray for the grace today that I can better understand the work of the cross in my life to imitate Jesus and to prove that I am a true follower of Him, a citizen of His kingdom here on earth and working toward His kingdom in heaven. Let's pray for the grace not only that I can do that but accept every cross that comes my way, every trial that comes my way is coming from the hand of a loving God who gives me every grace to carry it well if I only pray and ask for that help. Let's pray for that help today during Mass and as we receive Jesus in Holy Communion and as we recite this act of consecration to the Sacred Heart. In all these things, then, we'll start to live as a true member, citizen of the kingdom of heaven on this earth, working, striving in every way possible to gain the glory of heaven in the way Jesus has set before us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.